bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Back in Texas here this afternoon where it's cooled off considerably. The temperature right now has gone all the way down to 91 degrees. But it is going to get a little bit warmer. Orioles here at Texas Rangers about to close out a three-game series. Orioles trying to make it two out of three. Last night, Kevin Gausman, outstanding. Wade Miley today will try to come back to life. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this. Well, as I wrote on Twitter, at Wave It Bye Bye, shameless plug, there'll be no jumbo today in the jumbo state of Texas. Mark Trumbo, a late scratch. He was lifting weights. He tweaked his back. And Buck Showalter today got a visit from the head trainer, Richie Mansells.
Richie came in and said we should probably scratch Trumbo today. So I did. No, he isn't. I understand how people might jump to that conclusion. Yeah, tried to get him here yesterday. We could have had him yesterday, but didn't. And glad I got him here, because he wasn't going to play initially, so he is. So we always know that guy that wasn't in line originally. He's good for two hits, right? Isn't that how it works? I hope it does.
Is that for Kim, because you don't have to add Ellickson yet?
Yeah, 72 hours to add Jeremy. But that's kind of, you know, if they're in the area and they know about it. Yeah, because 72 hours is 11:20 Monday night, right? So my question was, can you not add him till Tuesday? My question was, if we go into extra innings and the game's at 11:20, like when it strikes 11:20, does he have to appear and the guy that you got for him disappears? He's got to appear Monday.
Will we see Ryan Flaherty tomorrow?
No, he's playing second base, first game DH in the second one. He's going to have to get around the diamond, play short and third, little outfield. He's been out a long time, Rich. He's going to have to mix in a couple of hits, too, you know. He will. He already has one. And just play defense around the diamond because we're starting out at first and second. Anybody else? Let's see. Santander? Santander might be as close as Ryan.
Is there any update? Is Ellickson going to take his bullpen today?
Yeah, we have a catcher coming in. Actually, he's going to take a bullpen probably tomorrow. He's going to play long catch and on flat ground with somebody that's coming over from Aberdeen. And Dean's got with Nicole, opened up the stadium. And, you know, it's not like a lot of things have to happen. You let people in and go play catch. What else? Yeah, he's going to play. They're probably going to have a bullpen tomorrow, I think, depending on how things go.
What are you doing with
Artie? Getting there, closer a little bit. When we get that last bit of soreness out, I was talking to him yesterday, as a matter of fact, in the dugout right before the game. He's got this last little bit that he's got to get out of there. And then, you know, I said, just give me an educated guess because we're trying to make some plans on it. What are you thinking if you continue to progress at this pace? So I think he gave me a pretty good week that he thought – and he and Richie agreed that it probably, by the time he gets some things done on rehab. I'm going to tell y'all, the heat here compared to Baltimore, middle of summer heat, I'll take this place over Baltimore. Rick Dempsey tells me that he said Baltimore's the toughest place to play in the summer that he's ever played. I mean, it's hot here, don't get me wrong. But I think we've gotten lucky. I don't think the humidity's kicked up like it usually has the last couple of days, right? But the roof will come in handy here.
Happy at 4:00 tomorrow when the dust down.
It's a false deadline, Rich. I've told y'all that. There's going to be a trade made 2 days after it's over. But I think the only relief will come from the players taking a little sigh, probably. As much as we try to act like that's not, it's maybe that, if that's because you're always kind of, it's all about what they, you know, if it's important to the players, it should be important to you. So I think most of us know what a false deadline it is, but that have been around it a long time. There's going to be some really significant names change teams after the trading deadline. I think everybody should keep that in mind.
Tillman all through, did he get Crampy? Rehydrated?
You know, it's funny. He did something for our team because I watched guys from about – I bet I saw him drinking. He was walking down the hall early with three bottles of water and a – what do you call it, Pedialyte or something like that? And he pounded it all day. So I'm hoping – well, I know that Wade did the same. But he's fine. You know, it's not going to be... Well, actually, I looked at the weather. It's supposed to be a lot better. And highs in the 80s, low 80s, mid-80s. So I'll bet you we're going to have some more hot weather before the year's over, especially in Baltimore.
Well, right now it's 91 degrees. The Texas Orioles and the Texas Rangers about to close out a three-game series. You may see some history today. Adrian Beltre, in quest of career hit number 3,000. We can see that here this afternoon. Now, Scott Coolball knows how tough it is to get to 3,000 hits because he missed it by only 2,907 hits. Scott and Jim Hunter, when we continue, warm-up show right after this.
It is another hot day here in Arlington, Texas, as the Orioles and Rangers close out this three-game series and on the verge of history, as Adrian Beltre one hit shy of 3,000. Scott Coolball after this on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Rangers back at it this afternoon. Daytime baseball in the rubber game of three. And on a day here in Arlington, Texas, we may witness history. Adrian Beltre begins the day one hit shy of 3,000 in his career. And visiting with hitting coach Scott Coolball. Just how unique is this achievement when you look at it in the history of the game?
Well, I think it's an accomplishment that, you know, everybody would love to strive for, but understanding how to get there is almost like hitting 400 in a season. It's unbelievable. It's a pleasure to see a guy that is that great of a teammate, brings energy every day, helps out other young players, and goes out there and just consistently, day in, day out, you know, put good at bats together to give him a chance to get that many hits is incredible. It's the hardest thing to do in sports is to get hits. Not so much about hitting the ball, but actually getting hits and to have a chance to get 3,000. I'm sure he is exuberant beyond belief. And when he sits back down, when he's retired, he'll look back and say that was an incredible achievement. But you know, like I said, it's just a pleasure to that human being. As good a person as he is to see him have a chance to do that.
You remind us all the time just how difficult it is to hit and hit consistently and hit consistently well. When you look at his career, one hit shy of 3,000, he's had one 200-hit season. So what that tells me is all those other years, he's pretty consistent.
No, he is. And if you look at him, you know, I tell a lot of young guys all the time, I said, if you're going to model yourself after somebody, I would model myself after Adrian Beltre. It's a very simple approach, as simple movements. You look at him, he doesn't have the high elbows and he doesn't have the big leg kick and he doesn't have all these crazy movements that a lot of players try to create power. He's consistently accurate with his barrel. He gives himself the best chance to make good contact every at bat. And when you do that, that's what happens. You know, he's going to be one of the first Dominican-born players to have 3,000 hits and you know, it's going to be a special thing for him. Hopefully it doesn't happen today. I'm not rooting against him. I know he'll get one hit the rest of the year, but if he does get it against us, it'll be great to witness, but I hope it's a single with nobody on.
When you look at hitting, and I hear the Oriole hitters talk about when they're going well, they're seeing the ball, they're in the zone, whatever phrase you want to use. The 31 when Beltre gets there, are they in the zone more often than every other player that they play against to be able to compile that many hits?
Well, to be honest with you, I think it's more about the mental toughness of a player. I mean, if you look at this guy's career, this man played a lot of games hurt. He had shoulder problems. I've seen him up close in the dugout, and he played with a pulled hamstring, torn hamstring, and finish out the season that way and get into the playoffs and do some things. So I think the mental toughness and the pain threshold that he has doesn't allow him to go to that, the excuse, you know, well, I'm hurt today, I'm not feeling well today. He has that mental toughness to go in there every day and give himself a chance. And because he has a simple approach, you know, he can do some things even though he's not 100% healthy. And I think that's the biggest key is guys don't understand that you're not going to feel great every day. And he has that aptitude where, you know, hey, today's another day. I got to find a way. And because of that simple approach, he gives himself the best chance. And you see him every day. It seems like he's the toughest out on the lineup.
He's been at it in the big league since he was 19 years old. So obviously a long time to get to this point. You mentioned working with hitters. When you work with the young hitters, you know, guys like Trey Mancini, who's new to this and doing very well,
What is the guidelines that you go to him, knowing he's got a lot of talent, he has a really nice swing, but over the course of the year, the ebb and flow and the ups and downs that you know he'll go through?
Well, it's all about controlling your mind. I mean, you know, a lot of times a young player is going to go through a season, he's going to have so many ups and downs. Every player faces adversity, whether it's a slump, it's an injury, you know, like I said, not feeling well that day or not seeing the ball well that day, and how to go out there and compete and how to control your mind and be able to slow things down and ease your way back into that zone, so to speak. And you know, that's the things that I talk to the young hitters about, is that, you know, somebody like Trey Mancini, who's a fighter, he's a guy that has high energy, wants to go out there and compete. He competes very well, but sometimes that's used against you when you're trying too hard. And you know, he's going to give the effort. It's just a matter of how to control that effort and how to control his body so that he can put a good swing on a good pitch. And when that happens, you know, good things are going to be producing. And you saw it was evident last night when he got the first at bat. He got a good pitch. He slowed it down, and he hit a big home run for us to get us on the board.
Okay, finally, if it does happen today and your hitters watch that and observe that, can that be inspiring to a hitter? Not to say, okay, I'm going to be the next guy to get 3,000 hits, but just to be the best hitter that individual player can be?
Yeah, I think that when any time that players face some opposing teams that have players of the caliber of Adrian Beltre, it elevates their game because they want to play to their level. They want to show that player that, hey, you know what, look at me, I'm a good consistent player also. And I think it can be an advantage to a team sometimes. I think it's also a understanding of how difficult this game is, and maybe taking a deep breath and going, you know what, I've got a long ways to go, and there's some things I need to improve on, because this guy's done it consistently for how many years to get 3,000 hits. And you know, I think it's, if you take it the right way, which I think some guys will, it can be a life learning experience that not a lot of people get to see.
Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
And yet the Orioles went 2 out of 3. They won the finale today. They won it by a score of 10-6. A day in which Adrian Beltre becomes a 3,000 hit man, the 31st ever to do that. And a day where the Orioles won a ball game, even though they were out homered in the game 3. Wade Miley got the real good start today. In fact, he began his game today retiring 10 of his first 11 batters. And yet it was a nothing-nothing game until the top of the fourth inning. Now, Adrian Beltre, big day for him, and he would get one chance to become a 3,000-hit man. His first opportunity came in the bottom of the second inning against the left-hander Wade Miley. And now Beltre right back in the box. Miley takes a look. He's a fast worker. Beltre cocks the bat. And the 3-2 pitch on the way. Ping, and a miss. Truck came out, and he got him in a hard cutter to get the strikeout. So Beltre, his first attempt today at 3,000, he goes down swinging. Miley gets him. Yeah, so again, Miley got to a real good start today. He got 10 of his first 11 batters. So a nothing-nothing game until the top of the fourth inning, when Manny Machado began with a double. And then Scope walked. And then Mancini came up to hit.
Machado leads from second, Scope from first, Jonathan not being held. So he has a big lead. 3-1 is lined, and a base hit down the right field line, past the dive of Gallo. Machado around third, he will score. Heading to third is Scope, and on at first with an RBI single is Trey Mancini. And the Orioles grab a 1-0 lead here in the fourth inning.
There you go. Mancini is 56th RBI. Mancini was on base 3 times here this afternoon. And then moments after that,
1-0 to Davis, swinging a line drive right center field. That ball is going to fall down for a base hit. Scope will score. Mancini read it very well. He's heading to third. The throw there is off the bag. And on at first with an RBI single, it's Chris Davis. So the Orioles playing first to third here. Back-to-back RBI singles and a 2-0 Orioles lead.
So there you go. And then just moments after that,
here's the 0-1. Castillo swings and a ground ball and a base hit in the right field. Castillo delivers. Here's Mancini to score, and it's a 3-run inning. And the Orioles now with a 3-0 lead. A little small ball here for the Orioles, and they are coming through.
Yeah, there you go. 4 runs on 4 hits in that inning to take a 4-0 lead. And then came the moment. The bottom of the fourth inning, Miley went to work. Had the 4-0 lead. He got Andrews on a pop-up, out number one. But then he walked Nomar Mazara. And that's when Beltre came up to hit one more time, his second attempt at becoming a 3,000 hitman.
And the 3-0, swinging the ground ball, base hit down the left field line. There it is, 3,000. Rickard plays the carom, heading to third as Mazar to throw to second, not in time. 3,000. And Beltre does it in style with a double.
So how about that? Beltre, his first hit in the major leagues was a double. And now number 3,000 was a double. Nicely done. And our congratulations. Later, Odor singled in two runs to make it a 4-2 game in that fourth inning. But then here come the Orioles. They went berserk in the fifth inning. And it all began on a ground out. And then Machado got a base hit. And that's when Scope came up to hit. Left-hander Martin Perez will check the run. He delivers. Scope, fly ball, deep left. Right back in the corner. Wait that baby bye-bye in the back row in the bleachers in the left field corner. Jonathan Scope, his 24th home run. It comes with Machado on base, and the Orioles are ahead 6-2. There you go. And Mancini came up. He walked. And then Davis came up. He singled. Exit Perez. Enter Jeffress to go to work on the right hand, hitting Wellington Castillo. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Fly ball, deep left. Back in the corner. If it's fair, it's gone. It's in the corner. It is fair. It is gone. Pipe it bye-bye. Well done, Wellington. A three-run home run. And after Beltre got number 3,000, the Orioles have gone berserk. In the fifth inning, a two-run homer, and now a three-run homer. It is 9-2 Orioles. There you go, five runs on four hits in that fifth inning. After that, Scope not going to run in the sixth inning. And that was it for the Orioles scoring, as they wind up with a total of 10 runs. Meanwhile, Rougned Odor, in a way, was stealing Beltre's thunder just a bit. Beltre got number 3,000. Odor, a two-run single in the fourth. A bases empty home run in the sixth. And then in the eighth inning, yeah, the 0-1 delivery to Odor, lifted in the air, deep right, backing up Gentry, backing up, backing up. He's going to jump up. Gone, a home run. Odor hits one out to make it 10-6. Yep, 10-6. Odor, his second home run of the afternoon, and a total of five RBIs. Now, eventually, Showalter went to the bullpen quite often. O'Day in the sixth, Brock in the seventh, Castro in the eighth, Hart in the eighth, Givens in the ninth, and it took Britton to come in and get her done. Britton takes a look, he sets, and he delivers. Beltre, ground ball to Tejada, he's got it, he'll go to Scope, out at second base on a very close play. Ball game is over, Britton gets it done, Orioles in the win column again, it's their second consecutive victory, and they're coming home after a 500 road trip in which they take two out of three in Texas. It's never easy in Texas, but they do take two out of three. Tomorrow night, Kansas City, back at Camden Yards. Post-game show brought to you by Brown's Honda City. By Happy with Brown, Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back in Arlington, Texas, where the Orioles win the finale here, the rubber game, as they beat Texas 10-6. Of course, it's never easy in Texas, and the Orioles hold on as Britton had to come on and get the final two outs to get the save, his eighth of the year. Time here for the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments, Gary Thorne with Buck Showalter.
Buck, that was a grinded-out ball game, but your ball club got it done.
Yeah, we won a tough series on the road against a team scrapping. We knew they were going to make a run. I was just trying to get 27 outs before they scored 10 runs. You got to go back. Miley gave us a good chance. Two runs, five innings, 100 degrees. I mean, it was a good outing for him. I told him, I said, there's not anybody in this ballpark other than players that might have done what you did. You know, he was a little disappointed he didn't get deeper. I was happy that he got through five, and because we had a full rested bullpen and we're able to shorten everybody up and have them all back tomorrow.
Wade said he wanted to attack more in this game. Do you think he did?
Somewhat, yeah, I do. He's trusting himself in the strike zone a little bit. He's throwing a little more of a cutter than a slider now. now. And that's, you know, I think it's given a little more aggressive mentality.
Were you ready to bring Zach on back-to-back when the game started, or did you make it during the game?
I've been telling y'all that, you know, he's going to be better second time out. He'll be better tomorrow. I mean, he'll be able to pitch tomorrow. He's fine. And, you know, it's just we haven't been able to present the situation for him. So, you know, Zach's it's exciting to see him throw the ball like that and kind of change the momentum of that inning. You know, we let him creep back in it with some base on balls we shouldn't have, but guys kept adding runs, and you knew we were going to need every one of them.
Trey Mancini got a chance in the fourth spot and didn't seem to bother him at all.
No, Trey, not a whole lot seems to bother him. I love the bats going the other way. It's the challenge as his career goes on is to keep his ego where and realize that that's where the team needs, and then there's a lot of money in that other outfield going the other way too. But Trey will get his share of home runs by accident. Most of them happen that way, but glad to get him off the field. He's been playing a lot. And then the outfield defense, you know, Joey made a big play to let Wade get through five innings, you know, catching that ball in left center field. And, you know, having Craig here, you know, he gave us a little juice out in right field and on base, what, two or three times.
Well, you got to win and you got to see a baseball moment. Beltre got it done.
You know, you couldn't draw on a better. We win and we get the honor of watching a guy. And it's kind of like when I was talking about Derek Jeter. You know, think about his career that long, L.A., all over the place, and never embarrass his family or his team or the people around him. He carries himself professionally. You know, I didn't realize he was first Dominican player to have. That's shocking, but I know that's got to be a great source of national pride, but I think baseball's proud of him. You know, to reach that milestone and do it the way he does it, everybody, you can tell what a reverence there is for him.
Buck, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So the postgame comments of Buck Showalter. As Buck points out, the Orioles win the finale here, the last two games, in fact. So they get the rubber game. They lost the rubber game in Tampa on Wednesday, but win today. So the Birds are now 7-2 in nine rubber games to decide series on the year, and that is big if you hope to get back in this race. Orioles win it. 10-6 is the final.